Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Ma'id Katan. Daf Yud Gimel. Amir Hashem, we'll finish the short second parak. Yes, Hashem. We left off on Yud Beis, on Beis. We did not quite get to the Mishnah. We left off right before the Mishnah, a couple of lines before the Mishnah, that last Gemara. Rav Yehuda Shar LeMeker Kintinta. Rav Yehuda allowed a Chalamayid to uproot Kintinta as flax, Ulamikta Kshusa to cut hops, Ulamaker Shimshimi, and to uproot these Shimshimim plants. On Chalamoyed, he allowed all three of these things. Only by the base for by sister base of Bishlama Kitra Chazza Chafifa. I understand the upper flax is because it's fit for covering foods. Actually, that's going to be in a Mishnah that we have later in today's daf. The Mishnah is going to discuss different levels of covering, different thicknesses of covering the fruit, but it discusses covering the fruit to protect it from the rain. So that's, we understand why that's permissible, it's protecting the fruit. Kishusa Chazza Shikra, and similarly, cutting hops. That's permissible because, of course, you can make beer. We said making beer for brewing beer for yomtiv is permissible. Ella shimshimi lechazi. What's it fit for uprooting these shimshimi plants? These are seeds that typically cannot be eaten until they get dried out. So when you uproot on chalamoid, they're not going to be fully dried out before the end of yomtiv. So you're uprooting it for after yomtiv. That should not be permissible. Chazi lenazai disbu. So the Gemara answers that no, it is permissible because already in the even when these shimshimi plants are still attached to the ground, there already are some seeds that are ready, could be used. Since there are some seeds that could be used without delaying it, therefore it is permissible. Rav Yanai, here's a Maisa Shaya, back to, again, we started yesterday's daf with the stories with Adu Chashim, right at the end, the last words of Yidalf and Beis, and then Anti Beis and Aleph, and then we ended yesterday's year with stories about Adu Chashim, and here's one more to fit that mold. Rav Yanai, Havali, not stories, but Dinim. This is a story, be it dinim, that relate, that are different by Adu Chashim, and here's a story that backs up that idea. Rav Yehavi, Luhai, Hiperdeitzer. Rav Yehavi, who was the Gadol, he had a pardes, an orchard, the Matazimne, B'chalamayin. And the time came that the time for where the fruits became ripe was a Chalamayin. So for him, that was the time to pluck, so he plucked the fruits of Chalamayin, because leaving it there longer would have been detrimental. That's when it actually became, that was its most choice time. However, Lashana, the next year, so Katva, he took down the fruits of the orchard. L'shana shayi kula alma l'fardesayo l'chol demayin. The next year, he saw the Eilam all waiting to pluck their orchards, to take down their produce when dafka der chalamayin. Why? Because they mistook what he did as waiting for chalamayin. I think it's permissible, and they followed suit. So what happened? Afker b'yanei l'fardesayi shayita. R'b'yanei went and was mafker his field that year. So this is shalaf agurus, first of all, that year. Either he's mafker his field totally, he's mafker finished, or he's mafkered that year, if regards to the gears that we like we have, which is Ishaita. The first one explained, the Shurim say already, that Avada Rashi, Rashi Savyad, that he did this because he felt like he was the cause of others to Avera, and therefore he did it. So they elaborate that it wasn't Meikar did, it wasn't Mechuyiv to mafkered field, he crossed himself to mafkered field. If you remember, we had that by Klayim, when the inspectors would go check for Klayim, if the people didn't listen and they kept climbing their fields, they would be mafkir. And we discussed back then about Chalikas, does it mean you mafkir the whole field, right? Or you mafkir the produce. We say even if mafkir the field, the guy himself could still be kind of back. It just is like it's a risk to him because someone else may come and chap mice. But the point is, it was a discussion whether you mafkir the field or you mafkir just the produce, just that year's produce. And there's claim that you mafkir it, but not the field itself. Over here, if you garrison our Gemara, I mean, the two gears says, hey, shaita, could be the tzmamish, the two stars of our Gemara. Rabbi is mafkir his field. If you garrison, hey, shaita, what does it mean mafkir for that year? That produce. That means it wasn't mafkir the field at all. So if he's mafkir the shaita, if a garrison, hey, shaita means the produce, not the field in general, or the orchard. If you're not garrison, hey, shaita, then it means mafkir in general. It's like the two stars we had by claim. Okay, so like the Mishnah. Machnas of the prayers of the Ganavim. One is allowed to gather in his prayers because of the Ganavim. Now, what is the issue of gathering prayers in the first place? We're saying, Chalamayit, you let gather in if you're worried about the Ganavim stealing it. And for after that, you can't, else what? So, Pashas, the Mepharshim learned that it's issue of Tirchi Seira. Gathering prayers is a big Tircha. And if we can't do it, that's not the Vijayam of the top Tesis. Tesis brings Peter Tesis Rav. The Pasifa's prayer is Ikamalacha. So, sorry, I shouldn't say that's what Tesis learns. The Pashas is itself Tirchi Yisera. Taisvis brings a Taisvis Rav that says that the Issa B'sor Melacha, but if you go further, Taisvis drop down to the fourth line, V'tzerach Ian, Yitarach B'lai Melacha, Aser, Ki Yechid Asir B'Pacha, fine. Taisvis is bothered, the Taisvis is curious as to exactly, and I skipped the main words. Ve'ini Adea, first words of the fourth line. Ve'ini Adea Ma'Melacha, Taisvis says, I'm not sure what Melacha it is. That's what I was looking for. Taisvis says, I'm not sure what Melacha it is. So Taisvis says, there is a Taisvis, a Rav, that says there's a Melacha. I'm not sure what it is. The seemingly obvious Melacha that we would connect. Obviously, there's reasons why Taisvis didn't want to connect this to this Melacha is Ma'amir. gathering the peiros right from the field could also be the lacha of ma'amar. Ma'amar is typically cutting the grains. After you cut the grains, you gather the grains together in one pile. That's ma'amar over here, gathering from the field into the house, from the taking it in. Also could be a form of ma'amar. That's how some learn. But again, the Pashas, Taisus is quoting Taisus rather than it's a malacha, and they describe the malacha as potentially ma'amar, but the Pashas, the way the other version known as, it could probably be more of a rabbinic problem, a problem of tircha yisera. Okay. V'sheila p'shanu shemina mishu p'shul shaltevan, and similarly, he could lift up his flax from the soaking, from the pool, in order that it shouldn't become lost. We quoted that multiple times, this idea in yesterday's daf. V'shvashle yichavin esmachtam b'mayed. And this is all permissible as long as he doesn't purposely wait and say, "I'm gonna have a lot of free time, I'll do it then." If he purposely schedules for then, he's not allowed to do. But in order to save from a davar oven, he is allowed to rescue it as long as it wasn't b'kivun. The kulim kivante. What if kibnu malachtam ma'ed yevedu? What if he deliberately delayed till then? In any case, where a person deliberately delayed till chalmain on purpose, yevedu, he should be lost. And what does that mean? It should be lost. Machlokes Rashi. And Rashi and the Iwi, how we learn this? Rashi learns that what it means is, like it sounds, Yevedu, it's like a knas, that it's usher for him to benefit from this malacha. Rambam learns even further, Bezda makes a loss from him, and they're mafkur these items from him because he purposely waited till Chalamayit to do it. So post facto, these items are usher for him to benefit, and they're mamish mafkurit, the way Rambam explains to others, it's loss from him totally. Miri says, no, chas v'shalom. Yevedu means he loses the heter. Yevedu doesn't mean that post facto he knas him. It just means he loses his right to do the malacha. A regular person could gather in the peiros on chalamayit if he's scared of ganavim. Or he can take out the flax from the soaking pool if he's scared it's going to get damaged. A regular person could do that because he didn't plan for it to be chalamayit. If it fell out of chalamayit, he's allowed to do it. But if one plans for it to be chalamayit, now yevedu, he lost that license. He lost the heter to take it out of the pool on chalamayit, the flax, or to gather pears for Mnaganavim. Why did he lose the heter? Because he specifically planned for chalamayit, so he lost the heter. But if he went and took it out of the pool, if he went and gathered to the house post facto to be knasim that with mafkrit, according to Miri, according to the Torah, according to many Rishonim, learn not like Rashi and Rambam, we're not knasim post facto. So it's machlokes again, if yevedu in our Mishnah means we knasim. If once he did it, it's us to benefit, or we don't allow him to do it in the first place when he had a mind to do it specifically for chalamayit. Sorry? Not planted. There's two cases. One is soaking flax. Right, so yeah. So typically it was there for a little while, obviously. It wasn't there just for that day. You're right. If it was something he did only for the day, then what do you mean he planned, right? So I mean, it was there for a while. He could have, if it wasn't ready to be taken out before Chalamayit, then it's fine taking out Chalamayit. If it was, but he said, I'll have more time, I'll do it then he's not allowed to take it out of Chalamayit. Talk to him more. Tana, Uvachi Yachlis Pesinim Sepesay. A separate clause. This not allowing him to bring the fruits to the house because he's rooted back out of him. Is only when he does, he should do a pitzina. He shouldn't do it in a fresh takeaway. Story time. Rabbi said, Havelik, Kushari, Rabbi said, these are some very large beams. Aile Bimami brought it to the house during Chalamayit to protect them during the daytime. Aile Bimami, Aile Niu, Bimama, Amale Abaye, Vatayim, we looked at our Mishnah, we looked at the Brisa that elaborates on our Mishnah, Uvachich, and he's saying, pitzina, basically, you gotta do pitzina, you're doing it, smack them all the day, these beams, how are you doing that? Amale, Rabbi said back, Sinna Dahani Yamama, Sinni Dahani Yamamu. The tzina of these is by day. Why? You know what's going to make more noise? By day, this hustle bustle, it can be drained out. Yeah, people are going to see them carry beams, but much less than by night. By night, you have to have a lot of heavy beams. You have to have a lot of workers. You have to have lights to see where they're going. You're making a whole rash. You're making a whole commotion. At night, that's going to actually alert more people, and therefore, it's considered the tzinnah of moving beams is by day, not at night. Now, we just explained the Gemara the way the Ran learns it. That night is more of a commotion, more of a fahasya than by day. Rashi, if you like Rashi seems to say that it's the same. Afilu b'layla ki mamadam. It's the same, meaning normally it's better to do it by night than by day because it's more tzinnah, it's more hiding. Over here, it balances each other out. By day, people can see because it's very light outside. It's very easy for people to see. And people are awake and people are around. By night, it's going to draw more of a commotion, so it's a wash. And once it's a wash, I have no reason to do it at night over day. Therefore, I'm allowed to do it by day. So that's meaning to be Rashi. And the Ran is, was daytime less v'fahasya than nighttime? That's the Ran learns. That's the simple way that when we read the Gemara. Or that's the way Rashi learns is, daytime and nighttime are the same. But once they're the same, there's no reason to do it one over the other. Said the Gemara further. Shalom b'shtenim of Mishra. We said the Mishnah, he could lift up his flax from the when they were soaking it, the flax. But if he had a mind to do it specifically on Chalamayit, then Yevedu, then it's lost. What if a fellow was Mechavin to do his melacha on Chol HaMoed. So he set aside, he had in mind, he's going to gather the paper, he's going to take up the flax from the soaking on Chol HaMoed, and then he died. Nebuch, he died. So the shaila is, the knas that because he intended to do that, we knasted him. Well, this machlokes what the knas is. Remember, we said in the Mishnah, according to Rashi, Rambam, the knas says he can't benefit from these items. According to the other Rishonim, according to Biri and Tur, he cannot go lechatchila and take it out from the soakage or gather the pears on Chol HaMoed because he had a mind to do it that way. So, whichever way we learn the knas. What's the status of being casting his sons afterwards? What's the shaila? The Gemara is going to spell for us the shaila very clearly in a couple lines. This is a classic chefsik afra shaila. When the chazal would gezer a takar that would knassing this guy, do we knass him, the father? He's gone. Children are knassed. Or do we knass the chefsa? We knass the flax. We knass the peiris. We knass the flax of the peiris. And if they knass the flax of the peiris, it would apply to the bottom also, and they can't either benefit from it after Chol HaMoed, if once it was done, according to Rashi Rambam, or they can't take it out in the first place, according to other Rishonim, says Gemara, Imtim Slaymer, Kapav, Yigimim Alaf. Imtim Slaymer, the Mar Tzimik, four rayas to the Shaila. Raya number one, Imtim Slaymer, Tzar, Ezim Bechar, if you see by the case where one purposely puts a mum in the ear of a Bechar, remember Bechar is Aser, a Bechar has to be born as a carbon, and until it's born as a carbon, and it's given to the Kayin, and it begins as a carbon. Bechar, if you want to avoid the obligation to bring the carbon, if it's a mum, of course, can't be brought as a carbon. But it's, of course, it's usher to put the mum into the bechar. It's actually ister raisa, called mum yabai, we darshan, and there's an ister to put the mum into the bechar. Now, tsar ma'ez bechar, in a case of a person, typically would be a kayan, who nicked the ear of the bechar, in order that he should be able to eat it now without bringing it to the, as a carbon. So, the halacha is as follows. The halacha is that the Chacham said, not only is the Asr, it's Knas Mizarbanan, once one's over the Isra, the Lav, Batera, to make a mum, we Knas him, he can't benefit from the Bechar, and we Knas the son also afterwards, that he can't benefit either. Now, what's the shot over there? Mishum Disur, the Raisa, maybe I should say over there, that it's Mr. Raisa. So don't you bring that as a riot. The Mer is like really not bringing a riot, it's bringing it as a riot with the dismissal in hand. Don't bring me a riot for the fact that we Knas the son afterwards by Bechar, because over there it's Dinda Raisa, our hold it over here about not bringing the Paris. Or about, which is pretty clear, right, that it's not Malach HaDaraisa, like we touched on Havin and Taisus, or Sfar and Taisus, Malach HaDaraisa, we're talking about our sugya, about Malachas Durabanon, Malachas Durabanon, or we could say Ma'amir Be'etzim is Daraisa, but Malachas Chalamayid Bechlal is only Durabanon. Okay, so taking the flax out of the water is only Durabanon, so Be'etzim is Durabanon, maybe you don't Knas Bechlal. Next, Vimtim Slaymar, and even if you tell me another case where we Knas the sun, Machar Avdel Eva Chavim Meis. The halacha is a person not allowed to sell his Eva Kanani to a guy. Why? Because Eva Kanani has mitzvahs like a yid, has mitzvahs like an isha. He has mitzvahs like an isha. And when he sells the Eva Kanani to the guy, he'll no longer be able to perform the mitzvahs. The guy's not going to allow him, given the space to perform the mitzvahs. So there's isha to sell Eva Kanani to the guy, and if one does, we knas him. What are the various knasses? There's really twofold knasses. One is they have to pay him back no matter what it costs. He's got to buy him back. Another is if the Eva actually escapes him out from the guy, from the new guy's owner, and he comes back. The old owner is not allowed to work up anymore. Even though once he escapes to the new owner, he goes back to the old owner still has should have some sort of violence over him. The old owner has to free him. It's a knas. So the shaila is, these knasas, discussion which knas we're referring to, but these knasas, do they refer to the son as well? Do they apply to the son as well? The answer is yes. Kuntz of Nakram, we do knas the son as well. Mishim Duchal Yom Avka Mimitzvahs. Again, there too, over there, it's not an issue of the level of issur that's being done. I mean, it's not a deraisa necessarily. But it's a sensitivity that every minute that there's evidence by the guy, he's losing out for mitzvahs. So over there, it's more of a quantitative issue. The first issue was more of a qualitative issue, meaning tzarim ayizim b'char, making a mum in the ear. That's a mamish nisteraisa. So we cast the father and we cast the son. Next, by the case of the Eva Kanani that was sold, we cast the father and the son. But we can see over there dafka. Why? Because every moment the Eva Kanani is by this guy, it's being mafkim for mitzvahs, and therefore it's the quantity of the damage is a reason to knas not just the father, but also the son. Getting back to our shaylos, those are two. I said the two rayas. They're really the our here is not bringing them as rayas; it's bringing them as just points to build up its question. It's even before the rayas. Hachemais, what's going to be us? Gavra kanas rabbanon v'ha leisei. The knas was on the person on the gavra. Mamish a gavra chefsa shayla. The knas was on the person, the father, who's now dead, and therefore there's no more knas on the son v'ha leisei. Because the father's not around, the knas is on the payrus. It's on the flax, on the pishtun, and the money, the mina is still here with the surviving yarshim, and therefore the knas still applies. Amarlei, so Rav Zeira said to Rav Yirmiyah, Tenisua, we have a raya from the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Shvias, in the fourth parak. Sadash has Katzvah Shvias, a field that was cleared out of like thorns during Shemitah. Tizlo Masa Shvias. So you're not supposed to clear out the thorns during Shemitah, but if one did, it's not mamish tending to the ground because it's not Mechubal Karka, it's not considered the most, it's not the most integral activity. Of course, something that you always do on a proper field, but it's not considered classic work in the field, and therefore the Chama did not Knas Tizlo Masa Shvias. Masa Shvias, he's able to plant. You don't have to worry, you don't Knas him that because you tended to the field in Shvias, you can't plant the next year. However, Nataiva in the Daira, we just had yesterday more about the Daira gathering animals in order to fertilize the land. Nataiva is also very similar in some other way of causing fertilization to the land. So Nataiva is fertilization. I'm not sure if you're using the animals directly, maybe you're fertilizing it with existing fertilizer, whereas Nadaira is having the animals stay upon it in order that they should relieve themselves and fertilize the ground. Different forms of fertilizing, either way, Leitizl Matzishvias. Then there's a Knas that you cannot plant in the year after Shemitah, Chum Knasim, because you did work that level of work during Shemitah. V'amar Beis Bechanina, I guess you're going to say, we have a Messaira. Hetiv of mace. What if the person allowed this fertilization to happen during the seventh year and then he died? The son is not part of this knas. The son is allowed to plant the year after Shemitah. What do you see? You see very clearly that Rabbanan knas only the father, not to the son. It was knas on the gavron, not a knas on the chafetz on the field, and therefore the son is allowed to plant. Hachanami best too. The knas Rabbanan, the vei knas Rabbanan. So the best say the same thing, that with knas only the father, not the son. If the father dies, then the son could take in the berries of Chalamayin, or could take in the flax out of the water on Chalamayin. Amar Abaye says, I have another Raya, Naktina. Tima Teresa Umeis. If a person is Matama someone's Tyrus, this is a classic case of Hesek Shein Nikar. If I go and I'm Tame, and I touch your stuff, your Truma for sure, and I make it Tame, which makes it worthless, or I touch some of your other stuff, produce, I make it Tame. The lach is, it's a Hesek Shein Nikar, so be the other Mamar Li Chayev. But the Chamim Knasim, Chamim said, Gemara comes to a few places, famously it's Gemara in Megillah, the fifth barak, that we come Knas and said, even though Hesek Shein Nikar is Pater, said you have to pay the money. The person who damaged the goods, it's not noticed plastic. Physically, the item is the same. But Lemaisi, he caused the Vitame, took away the value, he's got to pay for the damaged goods. That's the father. Shalos, what about the son? The team tipped the of a person who is Matamas and Taras and then dies, Lay cuts of an Akharov. We do not canast the son afterwards. He doesn't have to pay damages, even from the, he has the Chiddush, not just from his own pocket, even from the money he inherits from his father. His father died. His father was, when he was alive, to Rabbanu canast him that he would have to pay back this damage he did. But the son, the children, the Yerushim, don't have to pay from the estate. My Taima, Hezek Shein Nikar, Leishma Hezek. Hezek Shein Nikar is not really called Hezek. Lididei cuts Rabbanan, to Rabbanu canast him, himself, the father. The very cuts Rabbanan, the Rabbanan didn't cross the son. Again, another right to this halacha. So Tobias will say the same thing, that the Rabbanan cross the father, not the son. Therefore, the children would be able to deal with these payers and these, the flax. They wouldn't suffer the cross of the father. So again, the other verse is very clearly that it's a din in the gavra, not a din in the chafza. 2 points to this. First of all, Hezek Shein Nikar. Hezek Shein Nikar means again, well, there's actually machlokes for shayinim. That's one of the points. What exactly is Hezek Shein Nikar? It's not noticeable hekdesh. That is clear. But what does it mean? So some of the shayinim learn Hezek Shein Nikar, Rashi, Rambam learn to mean that very simple. The simple tashi we just said. There's nothing discernible in the chafza that got damaged. So you caused a damage. It's more of a spiritual damage, usually. So you did a created tumma in the chafza. Manasseh is another example. You take someone's wine and you manasseh it. You don't see a difference in the wine. Maybe the halakha people are about to feel it and say, there's something wrong with this. But you don't feel it. There's nothing physical change. It's a hezek which is not noticeable. Hezek Shein Nikar. But the material ones, I should say, b'di adam, one actually doesn't have to pay. B'di shemayim has to pay. They're chum knas that they have to pay. But dafka the father, not the son. That's the idea of Hezek Shein Nikar according to Rashi, according to Rambam. Tesis over there by the sugya of Hezek Shein Nikar, Tesis learns that's a little bit different. Tesis learns that Hezek Shein Nikar has to mean that b'shas the hezek, it was a nikar, the hezek was taking place. Meaning, if you could see the guy clearly as being manasseh, that wouldn't be called a Shein Nikar. Has to be that it wasn't clear he's even Manasseh. He was having a mind while he's pouring it. Yeah, you have no clue he's being Manasseh. Or you could just be pouring wine. And therefore, it's not Nikar because it wasn't even noticeable while you're doing the Hezek. So it's not that, but essentially, according to Taisvus, it doesn't have to be that the Hezek is Nikar in the Chefze afterwards because it's Hezek Nikar. Taisvus says, as long as it's Nikar B'Shas Maisa, then it's called Hezek, which is Nikar. So an afkmin would be, let's say someone's metame, someone else's produce. It's very clear, he's working with the sherets over produce. The halacha is produce only comes tame if it was mukshir, if it was prepared, if it was mukshir kabatama, has it prepared by coming in contact with one of the zayin mashka, one of the liquids. If we don't know, if it's not clear at all, this grain, this produce came in contact with one of the zayin mashka, so even if you're walking over and touching a sherets to it, that'll be hezek shein nikar, it's not Nikar. If, however, it's clear that the produce is still wet, right? If it was once wet, now it's dry, it's still mekabel tumah. If it's clear that it was, but it's not noticeable to the person who just sees it, now that's dry. If right now it's actually wet and you see the guy taking the sheretz, that would already make it more hezek nicker. So Tosfos again is learning hezek nicker and nicker means if it's b'shas, the hezek is happening, if it's noticeable or not, if it's nicker or not, as opposed to Rashi Rambam learned, if it's noticeable post facto, is the cheftza, is it noticeable in the cheftza, is it a discernible change or not? Interesting machlokes, the guy hezek shein nicker or not. One an obvious thought, I think it's a pashtusha, I didn't see them bring it, but we've quoted multiple times in the past a yisayid, it's a very geshmaki yisayid, we quoted it from Rosh Hashechta really, but it's really from the Nesivus. It's a black and white Nesivus, where he brings that there's a fundamental difference between Issa Deraisis and Issuri Derabanan. Issuri Deraisis, they change the, not just change, it creates an Isser in the Cheftza. When the Torah makes something Usser, it's inherently Usser in the Cheftza. It's the item itself has Dinim. When the Rabbanan came along and made Dinei Derabanan, they typically, I'm not saying a blanket rule across the board, but for the most part, the Issur Derabanan are typically in the Gavra. They run and say, you, this is really Mutter, you're not going to change the status, you're not going to change the item itself, but you have to treat it as if it's Usser. You have to treat it as if it's X. The Rabbanan say a din in the Gavra, how they have to approach different scenarios, they make Takanas in the Gavra. We use it to explain why Shaygigs and Derabanans are much more lenient. So that's not because one's Derabanan as opposed to Raisa. By Derabanan, it's a Shaygig inherently in an Isser. By Derabanan, we pointed out that a Shaygig is not is more lenient, not because it's Derabanan over Raisa, because the whole Isser of Derabanan is it's a din in the Gavra, there's a Chief to listen to the Chamim. It's not a din in the Chef, it's one of the guys over the Isser. The Chef itself was an Isser. Elamai, he didn't listen, he didn't know, he's a Shaygig. So it's missing an element of the whole, there's actually a smur to say that one does not have to do tshuva for a shaking in a drabanan because of this. Maybe it's tshuva, they should know the halacha, but they should be more careful in general. But he wasn't aver an isser because all isser drabanan is not listening to drabanan as a gavra based on what they enacted, not an isser of the chefza. So our gemara fits beautiful with that. Our gemara is saying it's isser on the father, it's on the gavra. Once it's on the gavra, the takana applies to the father dafka, not to the child. Had it been isser of the chefza, it would have applied to the child. I mean, the only kasha, the gemara is maskanda, if it's beautiful, the only kasha on this gishmak and that we're making is that what was the havamina? If you tell me it's so pashat that Issur Derabanan is on the gavra, not on the chefza, then it should have been pashat on the father and not on the son, the chayra. Okay, but it comes out, lemaisa, the way the word comes out is a very gishmak araya, since you say that we say it from the sivis, I think. I'm missing something. Okay.
You could be
in the chalice
between
Issur
and Knas.
Ah, you want to say about Knas? Derabanan and Knas? Eh? Not bad. Not bad. Very air.
So that could be. But then here it's so different because it's the money that the father's leaving over to Yerusha. So you could understand that even though it's on the Gavra, now once it's on the Gavra, his money can't go to the son. It starts with Gavra.
I hear that more that last case. We talk about what he has to pay for Hezek Shein Nicker. But other cases, I'm not sure why. I'm not sure if I hear it as much. If it's in the Gavra, it's in the Chefza. Just because he inherited it, if the Issa was never in the Chefza, so because he inherited it now, it transfers to the Chefza. By Mominus, a little bit, in the last case, I hear what he's saying. But otherwise, I wouldn't see that it should make that jump. You're saying a logic, but if the mechanics are such that it's in the Gavra, not the Chefza, why should that switch just because it's Yerusha? Okay, it's like the Mishnah. Ein leichem batim avadim hu behema. One is not allowed to purchase houses, slaves, behemoths, except for the needs of the mayid. And if you jump to Taisa, he says, Lav Dafka, we pick these items, Lav Dafka Huadin, this is the second time I'm Taisa on the page, Ein Leichin, Taisa says, Huadin, Mishadvarim, that are needed, Letzarech HaMayid, are permissible. We're just picking Ravusa over here. Afil Hani Davin Perhesia, a house, an Evan, Behemoth, those typically make more noise, and still the mutter if it's Tzarech HaMayid. If it's not Tzarech HaMayid, you can't purchase a yantav, and if it's Tzarech HaMayid, even though it's a mutter, personally, anything else we need, the Tzarech HaMayid is mutter to purchase. Or one can purchase these items for the need of the meicher, the one who's selling it, who doesn't have what to eat. That's reason enough to purchase these items as well. We just discussed buying from a seller who doesn't have what to eat. So even though I don't need the item necessarily right now, he needs parnasa, he needs to have what to eat. I have to have someone to buy from. What about hiring a worker? Can I hire a worker just because the worker needs parnasa and he doesn't have what to eat? We know the answer is yes, but it's one of the five examples. So no chiddush for us over here. We've spoken about many times that pael she'en le mayachal is allowed to do work. And presumably that means I'm allowed to hire him in order to make parnasa on Yom Tov. But the Mar is asking Shaila over here, can we derive that from our Mishnah as well? Is it the same din? Amalei Tarina, yes, that's Mamash Mishnah. The Mishnah could have just said, you're allowed to buy something, let's sarich a meicher for the needs of the meicher. Doesn't that mean a meicher doesn't want to eat? Lasuye meich. What is the lashon of ein lemayech come to include? Lavasuye schar pula. It's coming to include the schar of pula. That a case, not just a case of selling wares, a case of someone working. You let to give someone work to do in order to pay him, in order that he should have what to eat on Yom Tov. Says Gemara, Amalei loy. Prishu kamar farish. No, it's not enough of a di. It's not enough of a yitul lashon. I will tzarich a meicher that it didn't say shein lemayech. A meicher is extra to tell me the case of payel. No, it's one statement. You're allowed to buy from a seller who doesn't want to eat. We're just explaining that. What does it mean? He needs, doesn't want to eat. We have no raya from there. We have no raya that, there's no riba, I should say. There's no riba to come include another case, such as a worker doesn't want to eat.
So this that's going to do work for you that has no money, what kind of work is he doing for you?
What do you mean?
What kind of work is he doing?
Obviously, someone who's not mutter anyway. Obviously, it's not mutter anyway. If it's mutter anyway, it wouldn't be a problem. Something which is not mutter anyway, he's allowed to do it. Something which normally would be a malacha that's not permissible, he's allowed to do it because he needs what to eat. So the Gemara is interpreting that Rava's deflection to the raya means that the way the Gemara sets it up with a meisve that Rava holds that you have no raya that a poel is able to work for you just to make parnasa, just to have food to eat. You're allowed to hire a poel to do work just in order to have what to eat. Eisve by so by ask. We have a raya like that. That's what's lashon of Eisve. Rav just deflected the raya. He didn't say the halacha is the other way, but we're taking it to mean that the halacha is according to Rav the other way. So Abaye brings a raya. It's not true. Ain case for shtar chayv mayin alar shtar chayv mayin him ainai maminai aisha ainai mayechel. If doesn't the lender doesn't trust the borrower needs the money now, and the lender doesn't trust him. Or if he doesn't have what to eat, who's that? That's going to be the safer. Harayzi yichlev, you're allowed to write this shtar. She'en lemayechel lasuim. But what does it come to include? She'en lemayechel lavasui schar pula. It comes to include the schar pula. Someone doesn't have what to eat, meaning the safer. So you let a hire a safer, even though you don't have an issue of trust. At the first case, you don't trust him. Second case, you trust him. You don't need the shtar. Today, you write the shtar after Yom Tov. But in order to give the safer parnas, in order to have what to eat on Yom Tov, you're allowed to hire him to write the shtar, to write the contract on Yom Tov in order to give him food to eat. Very clear that a chalamayin, it's mutter to give a pile sheinam ayechel avoid the shmaimin of the mercy stacker clear raya. Meisav sheish also has Akasha, the Chamaimer, we said, Cham say, Shalish Umnas Eisen, Melacha Bavar Pesachim Achatzayis. Three type of craftsmen, so to speak, three type of people are allowed to do their work on Erev Pesach, Til Chatzayis, Hachayatim, tailors, and Sepharim, barbers, Vakayfsim, and launderers. Hachayatim, she can head you take for Kedakash and Choshamayim. The reason why it's Mudar on Erev Pesach is because even a Chalamayim, you're allowed to sew derech hedyot. We just had that the other day. You can sew derech hedyot in an unprofessional manner. So therefore, an erev pesach, which is certainly more needed, the chalamayit, even a professional can sew. Hasavar v'kayfsim, those the barbers and those that launder, they're permissible on erev pesach. Shekem bayim medinas yam v'yetsim meisasurim. There are people that are coming from overseas, people that are just getting out of jail right before pesach. So mitam sabachabes. I'm sorry. Let me say again. The people that come out during Chalamayim from jail or from Medina Siyam, they come back. We know they have a heter, and they're certainly not going to get haircuts. They are allowed to get haircuts. They are allowed to launder because they didn't have a choice to do this, an option to do it before Yom Tov. So again, since they're mutter to Chalamayim, so therefore on Erev Yom Tov, we allow in general the barbers and the launderers to be open because since there are scenarios where it's mutter Chalamayim, on Erev Yom Tov, which is more lenient, we're allowing the barbers and the launderers to be open. Now, Shari asks Rav Sheshes, if you're telling me this halacha, the raya that Abaye just brought, and we said shvamina, that's schar for a poel who doesn't want to eat, is permissible. Come achazam in the street, why dafka these malachas? Any malacha should be mutter, you know why? The whole hatter was because you find scenarios that they're permissible on chalamayid. Well, every malacha, this is to your question from before, Elizer. Every malacha, any type of malacha, whatever it may be, mutter, usher, you find a scenario that it's permissible. Al yidei give you a pelmat what to eat. So if you tell me the fact that a malacha could be done in specific instances on chalamayid renders it for sure permissible in any instance on Erev Pesach, so why is it relegated to these three malachas? The tailors, the barbers, the launderers should be relevant to every malacha. So that is a question Rosh Hashanah asks. Mask of love. Rav Papa says, what do you mean? El me'ata, binyan lishtri. So take it further. Why are you asking just about malachas? Start building buildings on Erev Pesach. Shekein kaisel ha'agigab Rosh Rabbim. There's a specific case of a wall as leaning Rosh Rabbim that could be dangerous. We had this, again, a chazar we had a couple of years ago. Seisar ubeina kidakim ha'asakana. You let it destroy it and rebuild it because of sakana. You let it do the even a chalamayit. So on Erev Pesach, you should be able to be busy building on Erev Pesach. Rather, what's the aside? Meaning, and we're assuming it's for sure aser. It wasn't listed in the Mishnah in things that are mutter of Pesach in the Mishnah. So obviously, Rav Sheshes klal doesn't make sense. Maskar Avinu also has a kasher Rav Sheshes. Elmeata lavlestri a regular sefer. You should be mutter without any restrictions on erev Pesach. She can kais from kedusha kedushim kedugitin v'shevrim. This you're allowed to write on chalamayin the kedushim shtar kedushim or shtar gitin eva or shevrim or seats. You're allowed to write that on chalamayin. So if that's the case, it should be permissible on Erev Pesach, and the Mishnah is not listed amongst the things that are permissible. Ella, so what is the Pshat? Ella Mirashi, this is the thing, Leon, you were, at least looked like you were thinking along these lines. Mayid Aarba Aser Karamis. He asked a question from Chol Hamoed to Erev Pesach. Mayid Mishim Tircha Umakam Seid Sharabanan. If they're reaching the guidelines, that which is Mutter Chol Hamoed is that which, let's go opposite, that which is usr is because of tircha. A mayan thinks usr because of tircha. And when it comes to pseida, we know chachamim were matir. Arba usr is the different set of rules. Other things became usr because we want people to focus specifically on the tzarech yamtiv. So therefore, midi the tzarech yamtiv, sharabanan, chayatim, barbers, launderers, tailors, those are needs for yamtiv. So it makes sense, erev Pesach, the focus is on getting people to take care of their needs for yomtiv, and therefore things that are needs for yomtiv for sure will be lenient. Whereas midlap tzarichantiv leisharo, anything such as building buildings, writing shtaros, or any of the other malachas that a pile doesn't have what to eat on Chol Hamoed is allowed to do, we're not going to make those mutter on the 14th, because the whole point is to get people to focus on the malachas of yomtiv. What really comes out is the main focus is that which is mutter on the 14th are things that are needed letzarich yomtiv. That's the main idea. That which is mutter and Chol Hamoed are things that, even though there is a little bit of a tircha, or tircha seir even, if it's davar oven, if it's ishua pseida, that's what will matter on Chol Hamoed. Now the obvious problem is that the Gemara and the Braisa quoted two things that are mutter. The reason why they're mutter is because the people that come from Dina Siyam, or they come from jail, they're able to launder and barber on Chol Hamoed, and therefore they're also able to on Erev Pesach. So the Braisa does make that connection, which would seem to be not like the Gemara's ultimate Svara, and they're trying to point that it's Lav Dafka and Echrami. That connection was extra, it's almost like, I don't want to say Chasro Kol Mesa Korea, but it was an extra Svara that led to other questions, but that wasn't Nika Svara. That clearly is not Nika Svara. Our Gemara's coming out clearly, Nika Svara is two different things. Chol Hamoed is Tircha and Al Tefsid, or else different Tzarcha Mayan is Mutter, whereas Erev Pesach, the whole focus is, or event in general, focuses to get people to be busy with Yom Tiv. Number one. Number two is, Rashi adds, just a basic aside, Rashi the Bible, Rashi says that Avad Rashi right before the Mishnah, first white line. Avad Hu Adin, Ain the Mayechel, Tzarcha Yom Tiv, Ain Tzarcha Yom Tiv, Go to Mizah. On the 14th, we're saying he doesn't want to eat is mutter Chol Hamoed. On the 14th also, if one doesn't have what to eat, he can do any malacha to make money, because ain't tzarech yamtiv gadol mizeh. We're saying the whole after the 14th is whatever tzarech yamtiv, ain't tzarech yamtiv gadol from having money to buy food for yamtiv. And therefore, that would also be permissible on erev yamtiv. Okay, so the Mishnah, we have to look faster. Ain't fadim bias. You cannot move items from one house from one house to another house. He's talking about in different courtyards, from one house to another house on Yom Tiv. Amafanu lechatzera, it's tircha yisera, and it makes noise, people see it. Amafanu lechatzera, but you could bring items from the house to the chatzer. Envy and kelim and beis uman, you can't bring back kelim from the beis uman, the craftsman on Chol Hamoed. There's different reasons that are brought, either because, again, it's noticeable slapping of shesrabim, or because people may think that he actually had the craftsman do it dafka on Chol Hamoed, against the Shalik Yilkasa and Samar Sayan in Chayshu Shlahem. However, if he's afraid that's going to get lost or stolen by the crafts, once it's finished, the guy says it's done, pick it up, you leave it here, it's on your wrist, then he's allowed to go pick it up. Mafana lechatzacheres, he let him move him into a different chatzar. It just means a different chatzar here means the closest chatzar, whatever is closest, he can't take it out from the craftsman to the closest safest place as possible. So like the Gemara, I'm a reisha, mafana klal. You said in the reisha you can't mafana klal in the first line, and then the next line you say that you let him move from the house to a courtyard. Again, the first line words of the Mishnah are mafana bias bias. Then you say that you are letting me find out the chutzah. What does it mean? Says more Amar Baya Seifa Asun Labayish of a chutzah. We mean the second case is the house within the same chutzah. So you're not letting move from one house to another house in a different chutzah, where you're going through a place of rabbim, but from one house into the same chutzah, that is permissible within the same chutzah. The aim of Ian Kalem Beis Umar, we say you can't be Kalem for the Beis Umar, Amar Papa. Baduk Lam Rabba. Rabba tested us with the following. So now we learned in our Mishnah, we learned in the Mishnah we just quoted, Emavi and Kalim Beis Uman. That's our Mishnah. For a mini, but we have a Mishnah Psachim. Meilichin Emavi and Kalim Beis Uman. Our Mishnah says you can't be Kalim for the Beis Uman. Mishnah Psachim says you're allowed to. The Mishnah Pesach says very clearly, even though you don't need the Mamayit, you're allowed to bring it in. So what's the chilek in our Mishnah, which doesn't allow it, bring it from the Beis Uman? And the Mishnah Pesach, Mishaninu, we gave actually two answers. Answer number one, Kabar Basar, Kamachol Shemayit. The Mishnah Pesach was talking about Erev Pesach. Our Mishnah is talking about on Pesach Chalamayit itself. Irav Pesach more lenient on Chalamayit more chamer Ibai Seima or Hava B'chol Shemayit both Amish and Pesach both doing Chalamayit Kavim Aminai Amish talking about a case where you trust the guy and therefore you're not allowed to bring it in. We actually even said if you're nervous about it, you could, but if you trust the guy then you could leave it there. Kavim Aminai the Mishnah Pesach somewhere he doesn't trust the Uman and therefore he's not to take it back. Says the Gemara. Tanya, we learned the Braisa, top of Amud Beis. This is Tanya, first word of Rashi on the page is. This is another classic case of Tanya being a Raya, not a Kasha. Tanya, we learned the Braisa, Mavin Kalim Beis Uman, Kigain Kad, Beis Akadar, Vakais, Beis Zagag. You let her bring the pitcher from the potter's house or the glass case from the house of the glassmaker. You let her bring that in. Av the Soman Chalmayin, Av late Tzemer Beis Seva, but not the wool from the dyer's house, because you don't need fresh Tzemer on Yom Tov. Am Chalmayin, like Kalim Beis Umim, but not other general Kalim from the craftsman's house that aren't needed for Yom Tov. Mainly Mayachel, if the Umim doesn't have what to eat, Beis Laschari, then you still pay him on Chalmayin when he chutz leit, but you leave the item with the craftsman. If Mainly Maminai, but if you don't trust the craftsman that once you pay him and he has your cheftza, you have no leverage. You don't trust him that he's going to give you back the item. Manicha Beis Samachlay, you take it, but you put it in the house as close by, if you're scared that in that place it's going to be stolen, then because the rent says, you're allowed to bring it to his house. But you see very clearly that when you don't trust the Uman, then you're allowed to bring it to your house. That's the case of the Mishnah Pesachim, they're allowed to bring it to the house. And it really, it's pretty clear in our Mishnah as well. Our Mishnah says at the end, if you're nervous about it, you're allowed to bring it to the house. Same idea. Our Mishnah just says blanket that you're not allowed to take it back from the craftsman's store, but in case we trust the craftsman, and therefore you leave it till after Chalamayit. Ask the Gemara one basic question. In this Braisa, you explained the idea of Taratza Mavian. You explained the idea of bringing Kalim from the house of the Uman. Melichin Kasha. But what about the Stira Melichin? It said over the Tani, our Mishnah says, Emavian, you're not allowed to bring the Koshke Melichin, and certainly you're not allowed to take to the craftsman. And the Mishnah Pesachim says, Mavian and Melichin. El Machati Shimon Kor. Gemara says, you're right, because we still have another question that remains unresolved. The Melichin bringing to the craftsman, we have no way to explain why in Pesachim we're allowing to bring to the craftsman. If we're talking about Chalamayin, we understand our mission seems to indicate that's Usser. We don't understand why in Pesachim would be Mutter. That because of that question, go back to the first answer that the Mishnah Pesachim is talking about on the 14th, and our Mishnah is talking about on Chalamayit. So on the 14th, Erev Pesach, it's Mutter, but on Chalamayit, it's like a more Chamer. And Erev Pesach, you're not only pick up, you're also allowed to bring to the craftsman. By us, on Chalamayit, you're not allowed to pick up, and certainly you're not allowed to bring to the craftsman on Chalamayit, except for the exceptions that we discussed, if Mamish need a fiyamtiv, or if it's you don't trust the guy and you're scared it's gonna get lost. Suck the Mishnah. Mechapen asaksis bekash. You let it cover, we touched on this earlier, with a flax, same idea. You let it cover the figs with straw. They used to cover the straw to protect it from the rain. It gathers the water and the water doesn't waterlog soak these figs. Rabbi Da'imer af ma'abin. Ma'abin means to make thick. So the Gemara is explaining, what does that mean? What's he adding? He's saying you gotta cover it. He's saying you gotta make thick. Okay, the Gemara will elaborate. Meicher Paris, Ksus, Vekalim, Meicher Mitzinon, Tzechamayit. Those who sell fruit, clothing, or Kalim, they're allowed to sell it privately for those who need for Mayit. You don't sell it in a big public area, but privately you're allowed to sell for Tzechamayit. Hatsedanim, Vedashashas, Vagraces, Aisim, Mitzinon, Tzechamayit. And those that trap, those that pound the grains, they grind the beans. Also, they could do their work privately. Again, L'tzarech HaMayit, you do B'tzina. Rabbi Yisrael HaMayit 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 says they were machmer on themselves. Gemara doesn't explain what is Rabbi saying. Is he saying they're machmer that even in private had to do it, they took on themselves? So he's speaking out a chumr that people took on? Or Adar, he's being makel, he's saying, no, this that they do in private was a chumr they took on themselves, but really they would have been able to do it in public. That's going to be the Gemara Shaila coming up in a few lines. First, Pligimar of Chibra Abba of Rab Asi. Says the Gemara, there's Machlokes of Chibra Abba and Rab Asi regarding the Machlokes Tanakama and Rab Yehuda about layering, covering over the figs. It's Rabbi Shmei to Chizkiah Rab Yechanan, and they both are saying their opinions in the name of Chizkiah Rab Yechanan. Chana Mechab Maklushi, one says that we may, covering means like covering it like sparingly. You're covering it sparingly. So it's not like loaded up with straw. And ma'avin asmuchi, ma'avin means to make like thick, to cover with lots of straw touching each other. V'chanam mechapen bein aklushi bein asmuchi. Otherwise, says no. Mechapen means whether it's thick or thin covering. That's mechapen. And ma'avin means isa isa kimikri. Ma'avin means to make it thick means to make the kri to make it like a pile. To make like a pile, which means as follows: you would first pile up the figs. When you pile up the figs, that means the figs are protecting themselves to an extent. The upper figs are protecting the lower figs, and after making that pile, you cover up the figs on top. You cover up this pile on top of the figs. The Naf Kamina is the amount of covering you're doing is actually much less when you pile up the figs, because the figs cover themselves. So all you have to do is, it's fairly obvious, the amount of floor space you got to cover is much less when you pile up the figs first. So one man is saying that the ma'abin means you make the pile of figs pile thicker and only cover that, whereas the first opinion was saying, whereas mechapa means you're able to cover no matter how spread out it is, whereas other pashat is saying that no, the mechapa ma'abin mechapa is how thick the covering is in general. Tana mihachi, ma'abin isa isa kri, ma'abin means you make the figs into a thicker pile and then you cover it. Tivir abu, that's tributus. So you see a brisa being right to that side, that you're piling the figs first and then covering that, which is covering a much smaller space. Okay, we said the Mishnah Berachah Peres Ksus V'Kelim, those who sell fruit, clothing, and kelim, they can sell Petzina. The basis says they'll machmer themselves. So we spoke at the Shaila. They were machmer, meaning they wouldn't do the work at all, chalmain, even Petzina. Is that what it means? Or it means no. The fact that they did it in private, that was the chumra. He was saying, really, it's mutter to do it not in private, and they took on themselves to do it in private, but that wasn't an obligation. So he was commenting that what they did was a chumra, or he was saying that no. Afterwards, they were machmer not to even do that. Tashma to be raya. Meicher pays because for kelim meicher mitzinim l'zeich ma'amayin. Tanakam is exactly what we had in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yisi Amir, you got to do it mitzinim l'zeich ma'amayin. Rabbi Yisi Amir, tagri tveria himich mil atzmach le'yemeichem kolikar. The merchants of Tveria, they took on themselves not to sell kolikar. Sade chayes v'ayfes v'dagim tzad mitzinim l'zeich ma'amayin. Again, Tanakam says, those who trap the birds, fish, of they do it pitzina for shechemayin. Everybody says again, sadi akayin nechmiu atzman shleiyut sadim alkaliker. The trappers of Akai, they took on themselves a chumra not to do it at all. So it's pretty clear that Rabbi is being saying that they were being machmer themselves, but they could do it even for hesya. And Rabbi is saying that they are those that are machmer not to even do pitzina. The Shushay Chilka Targus, another raya, another point of this machlekes, same machlekes. The Shushay Chilka Targus Tisni, those who do pound the wheat into Chilka Targus Tisni, Mars explain that is in a minute. Deisha Betzinah Tzerchamayin, they can do Betzinah Tzerchamayin. Rabbi Yasi Aimer, Deisha Tzperah Heinich Miraz, Deisha Kalikar. So it's very clear, again, he's saying that they did it, they took on themselves not to do Bechlal. Very clear that Rabbi Yasi was saying that they refrained from doing it in Gansin, not that he was commenting that they're being machmer to do Betzinah, he was saying that they're machmer not to do it at all. Arabayim. Chilka, when we say the word chilka, we're talking about pounding the wheat. Chilka means chadotati, cutting one, being mechalik one into two. Targus chadotas. Targus is cutting one into three. Tisti chadarba. Tisti is cutting one into four. Kiasar avdimi amar. Kusna avdimi says no. Chilka is different. Chilka is just made from spelt. Instead of being nothing to do with cutting in half, chilka is not cutting one into two. Chilka is spelt as opposed to wheat. Mesvias kasha on Ravdimi. Chilka targets tisni tamei mechomakam. These chilka targets tisni, they're tamei. What do you mean? They're tamei. They're mekabel tamei. They're susceptible to tamei. I mean, they obviously came in contact with water, because before you pound it and break it, you used to soak it. So, bishalom adam mechad tarti klas arba. If it means pounding it and breaking it in half, a threes or fours, mishabachi tamei mechomakam. That's what makes sense. Why the tamei mechomakam diskasha? Because they became more than kabel tamei in the process before they were chopped by being put in contact with water. Elamadam kustam, according to Rav Dimi, he said that chilk just means spelt, not wheat. Amai tamei mechomakam. Why is tamei mechomakam holy diskasha? It wasn't made more than kabel tamei yet. Mar says no. According to Mekafli, even when it's spelt, the way you deal with spelt chilka means spelt that's smooth. Chilka tilav to sharlu b'mai alav mekafli. You peel off the shell, the hull of this spelt, and if not for soaking in water, the hull wouldn't come off. So you soaked in water, which made it really kabatama, and the lashon chilka comes from, and the verse says right now, if I make her the chilka, what's called chilka, the shakal chilkayo, it was by removing the hull, the kernel becomes smooth. Okay, Mesa Sarvdim is learning that chilka means, it means spelt. And it's also really kabatama because you soak it before you get rid of the shell. Mesvei, hanai dure dagan asaf pulamitsu yavish. One makes an edda not to benefit from dagan. Dagan is any grains that you pile up, which is typically the chamisha bini dagan. So he's mutter, he's asr also pulamitsu yavish. Dried out Egyptian bean is also piled up, and therefore it's asr mutlach. But moist Egyptian bean is more like a vegetable, is not piled up, digan, and therefore it's permissible. For this person made the nether. Umutta b'iris, he's mutter in rice, b'chilka v'tagar tisni, and in chilka tagar tisni. Now, bishop number chadl tarti, chadl tas, chadl arba, shapir. According to the opinion that Mechilka, Targa, Tisni are just taking these beans and dividing it, or these wheat kernels, and dividing it into 1, 2, 3, or 4, whatever it is, dividing 1 into 2, 3, or 4, then Afkul Mitar is Dagan. It's no longer Dagan. Once you chopped it up, it's not Dagan anymore, and therefore, his nether was not to benefit from Dagan. This is not Dagan. Elamah Mekuntab, Rav Dimi said, it's spelt.
It's just spelt that he took off the shell. That's regular diga, no? Dagamali hilchot, it's regular dagan kashmir, it's a stack of shmer on Rav Dimi, how he learns that, how he learns that, brisa. Rav Huna shor the hinya kruvaisa, the mezal of Tuni kurechai b'shuk, Rav Huna allowed the spice merchant to go and sell regular achalamite in the usual way. Ace Rav Kahana is from Kash from the following brisa, chanas p'such l'sav, a shop that opens up to the side area of Rishis Rabim, then Pesach v'nel kataki can open up and sell regularly. P'such l'shis Rabim, if it's open to Rishis Rabim, then Pesach achas v'nel achas, you have to leave one door open, but one door has to be closed. You have to make a shina achalamite, very event of achas shachag, the event of achas shachag, the erev of the last day of chag, maitzi ma'ater, as shukia here, prepares b'shul kav yant v'achar. Then you let it have the whole shuk full of payers that people are going to buy for the second days to give chashivas the second days of Yom Tov. Fine. By the way, the Rambam learns it means Shmini Atzeres, and it's more so not just Shvi Shal Pesach, but more Shmini Atzeres because we know Shmini Atzeres regular finance. Okay. Make Kavi Yom Tov Achron in. It's very clear that opening up the markets and selling the wares was only mutter on the last day of Chalamayin, but make Kavi Yom Tov Achron. But regular Chalamayin is going to be Aser. How did Rav Huna allow them to sell the spices in the regular way in the shuk, like kash habaperi habatavlin? The difference is peiris is normal to buy in bulk, so therefore you're not going to be mutter the entire chalamite because it looks like you're buying in bulk for also for more than what you need for the rest of yantav. Erev yantav and more makeup, otherwise the rest of chalamite not. Whereas spices, people don't buy in bulk. Since people don't buy in bulk, it's understood it's being done for yantav, and therefore there's no concern. Hadlach misha pa'avach mazatav ustadi. Fourth, the third pair will start tomorrow. Have a great day.